Chapter 32.
The hair is wrong, Nath said. It's supposed to be parted in the middle, not the side.
He rubbed his chin, staring the Gorley version of himself in the face.
I've never seen myself bearded before. It's really handsome.
Agreed,
Gorley said, helping himself to a tankard.
You might be the finest creature I've ever mimicked.
But can you do this?
Nath said. He huffed out a ring of fire. Gorley's face bunched up and he shook his head.
No, but I can cast some wizard spells. Watch this,
he said, pointing at a chair and twiddling his dragon claws.
Tweedly equals tease.
The chair turned into a goblin with wild and savage eyes, wielding a spear. Four dwarfs pounced on it with their fists hammering and mouths yelling. One by one, they popped up with a piece of wood in their hands, or teeth.
What's all the clamor?
Brenwar said, bursting back in the room.
Oh, cut it out, Gorley, and quit looking like that, will you? One Nath is bad enough around here, let alone two. Blast my beard.
He dropped onto a seat at the table. Gorley resumed his dwarfen form and shrugged.
They don't much like my other visages. So for the past two decades, I've mostly been stuck in this one.
That must be frustrating.
Well, I do get out sometimes. I'm the supplier. I can travel the world without notice. The dwarves can't go much of anywhere, as they aren't very popular right now. Unless they're in Morgdon, they aren't anywhere else. So I get the food and whatever other needs might be met. I also pick up any information that might be pertinent.
Such as? Nath could sense that as friendly as the chameleon seemed, he was nothing short of dangerous. Why Brenwar trusted him, he'd have to ask later. Gorley said,
Dragons, Nath. The clerics of Barnabas search for you. And not the good dragons, but the bad ones. The turned ones. They aid Barnabas. Their frustration grows, and they take it out on the weak. Sure, the cities and towns are getting by, but the pressure is great. The people no longer smile. They frown instead, as if waiting for the entire world to explode.
I can't run and hide forever,
Nath said.
And I won't. Before I slept, the plan was to take the fight straight at them and end them. Destroy the snake before it got too big.
He looked at Brenwar.
We tried that,
Brenwar said.
But it turns out the snake was too big already.
And now it's bigger?
Nath said.
Much,
Gorley said.
I want to see this,
Nath said, rising from his chair.
Sit down,
Brenwar said, slapping the table.
We've got to wait for the wizard.
Nath made for the tunnel, but three dwarfs barred his path.
See?
Brenwar said to Gorley.
I told you he'd try to run off again. He always does. Thinks he can fix the world by himself. Ha ha!
Gorley nodded.
I'm just going outside to get some fresh air,
Nath said, hunching down under the low ceiling.
My wardens can come along. I'm not going to sit here until Bezog shows. I've been asleep long enough already. I need to fill my lungs and stretch my limbs. I need to run.
Brenwar huffed and left the room, but no one else moved.
Give it some time, Nath,
Gorley said.
After all, we've been waiting a score of years. You can at least give us a few days.
Nath folded his arms over his chest and plopped down in a chair.
Fine.
Over the next few days, Gorley did his best to entertain Nath. He changed his appearance from one dwarf to another. He animated the food and made it dance while the dwarfs sang merry songs, but not too loud. Brenwar wouldn't allow it. He swore eyes and ears were everywhere, and he went outside now and again. Gorley said most of his kind were good, and that they'd chosen him to aid the dwarfs and the elves when the world began to change. He said he was glad to do it,
that he'd already known the stories about Neth Dragon as much as anyone. He said time wasn't a factor either, that the lifetime of a chameleon was as long as a dwarf's or an elf's, maybe longer, but that he was young, the same as Neth.
The dragons are turned or killed,
Gorley said,
and they change. Many have black stripes and tails. Some even take riders now.
Riders? Nath said. He thought back to his time as a boy, riding on his father's back. He hadn't flown since. Thinking on that, a great emptiness filled him.
Just like the paintings you have certainly seen. Some of the dragons even perch on the spires of the cities, watching every little thing. It's scary,
Gorley said.
The people practically dart from one street to the other. And the strange ones set up places of worship. The dragons that were once reviled are now being embraced.
But the dragons were reviled for all the wrong reasons before, Nath said. They were good, and made out to be evil. And now you're saying the evil ones are made out to be good. Gorley shrugged.
I suppose.
Nath rapped his fist on the table.
That's sick.
He clenched his teeth and rubbed his temples. I have to stop this.
We have to stop this.
Huh? It wasn't Gorley that spoke, but someone else. Nath turned. There stood Bezog. The part elf wizard's black hair was streaked in white, and his violet eyes were hard. A white scar ran from his eye and over his lip to his chin, and his robes were in tatters. He held a gray staff of wood with a twisted metal tip at the end. He looked tired, but strong. Nath clasped Bezog's hands. The grip was much firmer than before.
Then we need to get moving, Nath said. I'll do anything to get out of this mole hole, and I'm more than ready to stop all this madness.
Renoir bustled forward and looked up at Bezog.
Is it safe to go out?
Yes, but the hunters are close.
Bezog released Nath's hands.
We need to get the jump on them.
Why's that?
Renoir said.
Come!
Nath was all too happy to be outside again. It was dusk, and the dwarfs that guarded the door were not alone. They had company much taller than them, but they were also looking down at something. Bezog made his way over, and they parted the way, revealing a small dragon, little bigger than a cat. It was white. On its wings were strange black streaks Nath had never seen before. Nath pushed his way through and fell to his knees beside it. It wasn't breathing, and something had pierced its side.
Who did this?
Nath said, angry and eyeing the others.
Nath,
Bezog said.
This dragon was a spy for Barnabas. It had to be put down. We are fortunate we got it before it disclosed our location.
Nath rose up to his feet, towering over Bezog, and pushed him in the chest.
Who did this? Was it you?
Does it look like something I did?
Bezog said. He held his ground.
Do you want to push me again?
I did it,
a deep voice replied. A big man stepped forward. His face was short-bearded, and his eyes were hard as stone. He had a bow slung over his shoulder, and dwarfen leather plate that covered his chest but not his sinewy arms.
Do you want to shove me too, dragon?
Nath balled up his fist.
No, I think I'm just going to punch a hole in you.
Renoir stepped between the two.
Not through dwarfen plate, you won't. Now settle yourself down, Nath. Can't you see who this is?
The man didn't seem familiar at all. His features were hard, and his body was scarred like that of a veteran soldier. His brown beard was salted with gray. A fine longsword hung on the man's hips, and a pair of daggers, too. He had the look of a seasoned fighter. The man shook his head and turned towards Bezog.
We don't have time for all this. We need to move. The pool of dragons can't wait. But I'm not so sure we need to bring him.
He eyed Nath.
Seeing how he's the one they're after.
I don't think it matters now,
Bezog said.
The next stage has begun. Sooner or later they will know that he has awakened.
In the meantime, we need to properly bury this dragon. No offense, Nath.
Ben? Nath said, taking a closer look at the man. Are you Ben? Ben turned to face him.
Yes. Do I look so different to you?
Well, yes, Nath said. You have a beard and muscles like an old warrior now. It's strange to see you. What have you been doing?
Ben huffed. His expression was agitated.
What have I been doing? I've been protecting you.